The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We found the Messiah." He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him. "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas." The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about Moses and the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to them, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to them, "Come and see." When Jesus said Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the man." This is the word of God.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 2, beginning with the 15th verse. "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." This is the word of God for the people of God. Our gospel story today tells the story of Jesus calling his first disciples. Did you notice that two of them were originally disciples of John the Baptist? These disciples had been following John around because he was telling everyone to get ready for the Messiah to come. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Then when Jesus came around, they left John in their dust to follow Jesus because he was the Messiah. The disciples' relationship with John and then with Jesus are very personal. The word disciple is sometimes translated student, but a disciple is far more than a student. The disciples of an itinerant rabbi like John or like Jesus literally leave everything behind and travel with him wherever he chooses to go. There's no curriculum, no predefined course of study. They listen to every word that he says, not just directly about God and religion, but about everything. They memorize it all and they try to distill wisdom from all of it. They fight for the coveted spot sitting on the floor at their master's feet while he talks, because that's the best spot for hearing every word. They're somewhere between devoted graduate students and a rock star's groupies. They do not just want to learn some academic material from their master. They want to learn everything that they can and to personally become as much like their master as they can. That is what a disciple is. So when Andrew and his fellow disciples even consider switching from being disciples of John to being disciples of Jesus, this is a big deal. Jesus asks these men, "What are you looking for?" That's an important question. What are you looking for? If you're looking for something you can point to and say you're a religious person without any actual, investment of yourself in it, if you're looking for a rationale for why any behavior you like is acceptable and anyone who disagrees is the problem, if you're looking for a savior who gives you what you want but lets you live your life any way you want to, who does not demand that you change your selfish lifestyle in any way, then you can find people talking about a savior like that. Turn on almost any religious broadcasting television or radio station, and you'll hear people talking about a so-called savior who gives forgiveness without repentance, without you planning not to do again what you did that was wrong. He gives communion without confession, full acceptance back into the fold without your even admitting you did anything wrong. This so-called savior gives baptism without church discipline, acceptance without any standards for your future behavior. It's not actually clear what their savior saves them from. These media personalities avoid using the word sin, except to describe what those people over there are doing. Those people that the media personalities want to say are bad people. This so-called savior claims to give divine grace without discipleship, without you changing your life. These broadcast personalities will tell you to name it and claim it, and they will tell you that you can make a deal with God on your terms, where God gives you everything you want, and you don't really have to do much in return. The cheap grace they offer is grace without the cross, without suffering. Unfortunately, this so-called savior they're talking about is not Jesus Christ. They may use that name for their fake God in a box, but that's a case of mistaken identity. Every covenant made between God and God's people, at any time in history, any time in here, was made on God's terms. God made everything, including us. God gets to set the terms of agreements with us. These media personalities have no answer to human suffering, no answer to death and grieving. That's because their so-called savior is not Jesus Christ and has no power to save anyone. Their so-called savior is an idol of their own invention, whom they have blasphemously called Jesus Christ. You don't hear the word blasphemy from me very often, and it's strong language, and I try not to use it, except when it's truly appropriate. Blasphemy means to slander God. Jesus is not looking for fans. Even fans as devoted as Ohio State fans are, Jesus is not looking for limited business partners who make a transactional deal with him, this specific quid for that specific quo. Jesus is looking for disciples. If, on the other hand, you understand that a state called sin separates the world from being what God created it to be, if you recognize that sin prevents you personally from completely being the amazing person whom God created you to be, and that you don't have the power to completely eliminate that on your own, if you're looking for a relationship with the Almighty God who created you and who can save you from sin, then something might be possible here. If you're looking for a genuine relationship with the Almighty God, the God who created you and loves you enough to come down here, be born, live, and die for you, and be resurrected and reign in power for you, then Jesus says, come and see. Come and see what is involved. Jesus invites you into relationship. This relationship is not an anonymous relationship. Jesus knows these would-be disciples and he calls them by name. He looks at Simon and says, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas. Cephas is usually translated Peter, but the word literally means rock. Jesus already knows Simon's personality and the gifts that will develop that Simon himself doesn't even know about yet. Jesus knows who Nathanael is and can tell him about seeing him the previous day. He knows who these people are before they come to him. Jesus knows who you are. Jesus knows who you are. He knows you better than you know who you are. Jesus knows who you are deep down, far behind the persona that you show the world. Jesus knows the astounding, beautiful person whom you were created to be. And Jesus can see the gap between those two people. And Jesus still says, come and see. This relationship is not expectation-free. Jesus does have expectations of us, that we will love God with everything we have and everything we are, and that we will love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. All our neighbors, even the ones who don't like us. And Jesus expects to be able to see that love, not just in our words, but in our actions, plain and simple. Jesus does not expect us to be perfect. Jesus knows that we are not perfect, and he reaches out in love to us anyway. That's how love works. You don't love someone because. You love someone despite. It's not about deserving it. God knows that we don't. And that's okay. Keep trying to love God and love your neighbors. All your neighbors. This relationship is not a relationship with limits on it. The Word of God, Jesus the Christ, came down here, was born, lived, and died for us, and was raised from the dead. Jesus is all in. We don't get to say, Jesus, you can affect this part of my life, but not that part. We don't get to say, all that church stuff is good on Sunday, but Monday morning is about business. Either you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ or not. He doesn't do part-time relationships. We don't get to say, my relationship with my spouse doesn't involve Jesus. If you are truly in a relationship with Jesus Christ, it will become the context for every relationship in your life. With your spouse, with your parents, with your kids, with your friends, with your coworkers, with the panhandler you see on the street. If you are truly in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will find yourself treating the people in your life with love. Not just when you want something, but all the time. You will find violence against those whom you love to be unthinkable. You will find people treating people whom you care about as less than themselves to be wrong. And you will find that, yes, this does involve you. You don't have the option of just being a bystander. This relationship that Jesus invites his followers into is full-time and all-encompassing. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who walks with us always through our suffering, through the very valley of the shadow of death. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This winter and spring, all the way through Easter, we will be reading in worship from the Gospel of John, looking at who Jesus is, in what he says, and in what he does. Jesus Christ is calling. Jesus says, "Come and see." Come and see what it is not to be a fan, but to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.